You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
A longtime former congressman has died, AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
Former Congressman Lewis Stokes, who was Ohio's first black member of Congress, has died at age 90, a month after he announced he had brain and lung cancer. The great-grandson of a slave, Stokes served for 15 terms. He headed the House Select Committee on Assassinations that investigated the killings of President John Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and said there was probably a conspiracy in both cases. Stokes was a two-time chairman of the Ethics Committee. He also chaired the House Intelligence Committee and was the first black on the powerful House Appropriations Committee. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
President Obama will visit New Orleans next week to mark the approaching 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The powerful storm struck August 29, 2005, causing significant damage to the Gulf Coast and forcing a storm surge that breached New Orleans' levee system and flooded large sections of the city. Nearly 2,000 people died. Fire officials in Alaska say geologists will have access to the stability of an area in the coastal town of Sitka, where a landslide killed three people. Debris trapped the men yesterday, but crews have not been able to dig because of the unstable terrain. The men are presumed dead. Ex-Subway spokesman Gerald Fogel is expected to plead guilty to child pornography charges today in court and to having sex with minors. For more details on the story, go to our website, usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
To its elite SEAL teams, Chief of Navy Operations Admiral John Greener told the Defense News yesterday there's no reason not to accept anybody who can meet the demanding standards of the Special Operations Unit. The Navy's announcement comes just days ahead of two women becoming the first female soldiers to graduate Army Ranger School this Friday. There's no word yet when the Navy will allow women to compete for spots in the SEALs. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Forecasters are keeping a close eye on the Gulf Coast as Tropical Storm Danny is on track to become a hurricane by tomorrow. The National Hurricane Center says the storm system is still far off in the Atlantic, but could end up being a Category 2 storm by Sunday. For now, Danny is a slow-moving storm with maximum sustained winds of 50 miles per hour. Most Americans say the federal government should continue giving money to Planned Parenthood. A new Reuters poll out today finds 54% of people surveyed support federal funding for the organization for certain services, including women's health exams, prenatal care, and contraception. Teens who use electronic cigarettes may be more likely to start smoking. Doctors at the Cleveland Clinic says it's not surprising that new research shows that e-cigarettes aren't harmless.
Kids who smoke e-cigarettes are also more likely to get into regular cigarettes or other smokable things. This is not surprising. What will be surprising to some parents is that e-cigarettes aren't harmless.
Scientists at the University of Southern California found that high school students who take up vaping had a higher chance of picking up tobacco products like cigarettes and cigars. Doctors recommend parents discuss the dangers of e-cigarettes when they warn their kids about using tobacco products.
Show non-permissive attitudes about smoking anything, including e-cigarettes, so that kids pick up that it's not okay to start any nicotine product, including e-cigarettes.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Heide & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Heide & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Heide & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Time is 8:07, time for 100 Chamber Radio weather. Flemington right now, it's 76 degrees, and it is overcast. Calm winds, 60% chance of precipitation today, and today is August 19th. Cloudy early with scattered thunderstorms developing this afternoon, a high of 88. Wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour, chance of rain is 60%. Partly cloudy skies and a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible for tonight, a low of 69. Winds east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy early, scattered thunderstorms developing in the afternoon, 86. Winds southeast at 10 to 20 miles an hour, chance of rain 50%. Friday, mixed clouds and sun, scattered thunderstorms 81, chance of rain 60%. Generally sunny despite a few afternoon clouds on Saturday, a high of 82. Sunshine and clouds mixed on Sunday, 84. And Monday, generally sunny despite a few afternoon clouds, 88. Temperatures in our area. We have ...77 in Tewksbury, 75 in the town of Clinton, 73 at the county complex, 76 Raritan, 76 Ringo, 73 New Hope, 76 Frenchtown, 73 Hillsburg. Good morning, Hunter. That's Hunter Chamber Radio weather.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
To its elite SEAL teams, Chief of Navy Operations Admiral John Greener told the Defense News yesterday there's no reason not to accept anybody who can meet the demanding standards of the Special Operations Unit. The Navy's announcement comes just days ahead of two women becoming the first female soldiers to graduate Army Ranger School this Friday. There's no word yet when the Navy will allow women to compete for spots in the SEALs. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Forecasters are keeping a close eye on the Gulf Coast as Tropical Storm Danny is on track to become a hurricane by tomorrow. The National Hurricane Center says the storm system is still far off in the Atlantic, but could end up being a Category 2 storm by Sunday. For now, Danny is a slow-moving storm with maximum sustained winds of 50 miles per hour. Most Americans say the federal government should continue giving money to Planned Parenthood. A new Reuters poll out today finds 54% of people surveyed support federal funding for the organization for certain services, including women's health exams, prenatal care, and contraception. Teens who use electronic cigarettes may be more likely to start smoking. Doctors at the Cleveland Clinic says it's not surprising that new research shows that e-cigarettes aren't harmless.
Kids who smoke e-cigarettes are also more likely to get into regular cigarettes or other smokable things. This is not surprising. What will be surprising to some parents is that e-cigarettes aren't harmless.
Scientists at the University of Southern California found that high school students who take up vaping had a higher chance of picking up tobacco products like cigarettes and cigars. Doctors recommend parents discuss the dangers of e-cigarettes when they warn their kids about using tobacco products.
Show non-permissive attitudes about smoking anything, including e-cigarettes, so that kids pick up that it's not okay to start any nicotine product, including e-cigarettes.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
It's 8:07 time for Hunter Chamber Radio. Weather, Flemington right now, it's 76 degrees, and it is overcast. Calm winds, 60% chance of precipitation today, and today is August 19th. Cloudy early with scattered thunderstorms developing this afternoon, a high of 88. Wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour, chance of rain is 60%. Partly cloudy skies and a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible for tonight, a low of 69, winds east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy early, scattered thunderstorms developing in the afternoon, 86, winds southeast at 10 to 20 miles an hour, chance of rain 50%. Friday, mixed clouds and sun, scattered thunderstorms, 81, chance of rain 60%. Generally sunny, despite a few afternoon clouds on Saturday, a high of 82. Sunshine and clouds mixed on Sunday, 84, and Monday, generally sunny despite a few afternoon clouds, 88. Temperatures in our area. We have ...77 in Tewksbury, 75 in the town of Clinton, 73 at the county complex, 76 Raritan, 76 Ringo's, 73 New Hope, 76 Frenchtown, 73 Hillsburg. Good morning, Hunter. That's Hunter Chamber Radio weather. See here coming live from the Hunter Chamber of Commerce offices. We're in Flemington, New Jersey, just down the street from the old courthouse, the Union Hotel, the famous Lindbergh trial. It's my job to get you out and about on your day, going to work, going to school, running errands. You need to be on the internet, though, because we're over the wire, we're not over the air, we're the only 24-hour talk internet radio station in the nation, produced by a Chamber of Commerce. We're all about Hunter and Ken. Pretty much the guitar riff that anybody wants to learn or wanted to learn back in the 80s. Didn't matter whether you knew how to play guitar or not. You would sit there and try and plunk it out. Smoke on the Water, Deep Purple. It is time for us to look at Hunter Chamber Radio traffic. Let's see what's going on our Hunter and Kenny roads. From HERTTMA.com. You can get the same alerts I do. Just register with HERTTMA.com. They will send you the alerts about not only the local roads, but also, not only the highways, but also the local roads. And the one that you would be hearing about right now is update on Route 22, both directions. Closed in Branchburg. There's an accident with an investigation on Route 22, both directions. Area of 614 Eastern Pike, Turnpike in Branchburg. All lanes closed. Detour, heavy delays into the area. And that's been going on.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Aversa, Joni Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, hunterdonchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, the real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Talented People with Jeannie Murphy. And I'm not Jeannie Murphy. I'm George Ann with Mariah Media, and I'm sitting in for Jeannie. Today we have Mayor Janice Kovach with us, and she's going to be talking about things that are going on in her world, as well as an upcoming event that we're having that you're going to be a part of, Janice.
Absolutely.
On October the 8th, I believe it is. It's a nonprofit forum, which is an interesting concept. You know a little bit about nonprofits.
Yes, I've served my fair share of boards and continue to serve my fair share of boards.
And you're a believer in the nonprofit
absolutely.
Work.
I mean,
it's incredible what they do.
It is, and they do it with almost nothing.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. Thankfully for the support of the community that they have,
yes.
But the budgets are not
big. What they ever were, and they've continued to dwindle because they're all fighting for the same pool of money.
Yeah.
So they've learned to be extremely creative and relying on volunteers to help and do as much as they possibly can.
And that is really one of the reasons why we wanted to do this program, because it's a best practices program for nonprofits to find out about, you know, how can you gain support? How
right.
can you get more resources in the community? And we have some really wonderful people on the agenda. You are one of them. You're going to be a part of the program to talk about your experience.
Yes.
But we also have Unity Bank as our presenting sponsor, and this was
yes.
actually their concept.
It's a great idea. You know, I had a conversation with someone yesterday. We were talking about veteran homelessness in New Jersey, and there was an event, a conference yesterday, with a bunch of mayors from New Jersey talking about, you know, how do we address this issue? And I wasn't able to make the event. I was talking to a reporter, kind of giving my two cents. Now, obviously, Clinton doesn't have that population,
right.
but based on the work that I've done, it's so important. And too many times, I think and apathy is not the right word, because I don't think that's what it is. I think it's more of a, we get so busy in our lives that we tend to forget that there are others out there who aren't as lucky as we are.
Right.
And we have to take a step back, and events like this help remind us that we really do need to take a look at the world around us, and how do we do what we can. And you know, I yesterday I happened to be in New York with my kids. We were meeting my husband, and you know, you walk in the city and you see homeless person after homeless person, and we happened to pass a homeless veteran, so I stopped. And I pulled money out of my wallet and I gave it to my son, and I said, I want you to go over and give it to the homeless veteran. It was a young man, you know, and you could tell he didn't want to be there, but he was wearing his fatigues. He was showing his military ID and he was homeless. And I said, I need you to go over there and I need you to give this to him. And I want you to understand that these are people who have given so much for our country and are coming back to nothing. So that opened his eyes, because you see the homelessness on the streets constantly, and you want to help everyone.
Yeah.
But when you see someone that has given so much and gets nothing back,
that's a real,
that's the reminder.
And I think also it's sometimes that each of us probably does give in certain ways, but we can't cover the gamut of things.
Right.
There's
true.
So many needs out there.
There are. And we find what we're passionate about.
Right.
You know, we find what's important to us, but part of that responsibility is not just giving our small portion of what we can, but getting others to give as well, and getting others to realize that they need to step up, that there are people out there who truly deserve and need our help to get back on their feet in whatever way it may be.
And right now, the government funding is not covering it.
No.
We know that there's no more money to give.
There isn't.
If there is, it's a mystery to us. There's just no more.
Right.
So it has to come from the public or private organizations, private grants, like a Gates grant or something like that.
Right.
So it has to come from different resources, and you have to make those choices in your life. It's great that you're teaching this to your son, who's how old?
13.
Yeah, good age, because a lot of things are starting to, you know, come into his awareness, I'm sure.
You know, as he sees the new games coming out or something, and when I gave him the money, I said, you know, think about what this is going to do for that one person and what you would think of as absolutely nothing.
Right. Probably that money just kind of, you forget about it during a week, and it would be
exactly
so important to that person.
You know, that amount could buy a couple of meals for an individual.
And I think in general, a lot of people don't truly understand what the nonprofits can do for the programming, the resources. If you haven't worked in a specific nonprofit or you haven't been on a board and you're an average person in New Jersey, you might not know. So what's been some of your experiences on boards or with organizations?
So I think any of the boards that I've ever worked in, it's always about teaching self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, depending if you're talking about whether it be a domestic violence or sexual assault or displaced homemakers, you've got the immediate need that you need to address. Even the veterans homeless, you have the immediate need that you need to address. This individual is in crisis in some way, shape, or form. But what I loved about the organizations that I worked with is that their goal was not to be a crutch, but to be a resource to help them, the individuals, then get to that next step where they can become economically self-sufficient. They can provide for themselves and their family members. And what's really interesting is those same people pay it forward.
You've seen that.
I've seen it over and over again. When someone's been down on their luck, and has suffered and struggled, they've gone back to whether the organization or to another organization to say, you know, how can I give back? And the sad part is those are the people that still don't have a lot, that are still struggling, but are doing all they can because they want to help someone else the way they were helped.
And it's truly amazing that they would have that mentality rather than, you know, even having the relief of being out of the danger zone. They don't think that way. They think about, how can they help someone else? How can they pay it forward?
It's true. It's that movie. I forget who was in the movie a long time ago, but it was a young kid in his class was challenged people to pay it forward,
right.
and he did it by doing it first, you know, paying it forward to someone who, and I, you know, it's one of those things. It was such a powerful story. Helen Hunt was in it, and I can't remember who.
I know what you're talking about.
Right. Kevin Spacey.
I don't know the name. Helen Hunt. Was it called Pay It Forward?
It might have been called Pay It Forward. But, you know, that in itself is, it can be a small pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Facebook yesterday. My husband's niece is, she suffers from a debilitating disease. She's very young. Mm-hmm. She had an accident and, you know, everyone's trying to help as much as they can. So her cousins had a lemonade stand and my husband's aunt put up the story afterwards that, you know, as the girls were getting ready to kind of shut it down, they're in Florida, so it's hot. You know, you think it's hot here, it's hot there. They were just finishing up, and this last person came up and said, basically took everything out of his wallet and gave it to the girls and said, I challenge you to pay it forward when you can.
Oh, that's so great.
And that in itself, you know, that's this kind of selflessness. You're not doing it because you're trying to get something from it. They didn't get who his name was, you know, his name or anything like that. They knew he was local, but the fact that he understood that that was benefiting you know, someone who is going to have outrageous medical expenses that even organizations can only do so much to help.
They cannot cover it all. So, and I think that's why Unity Bank is so passionate about this as well. And like people like you who have put the time in on the boards, because you know there's not nearly enough to go around.
Exactly.
And there needs to be a stronger awareness first, like you say.
Right.
And then commitment, where people do step in and say, okay, I'm going to put that passion to work. I may only have, you know, so many resources or amounts of time.
Right. But I'm going to do what I can. And what's nice about Unity is they're a small bank. So they are community minded. And that's not to say that the others aren't. Yeah. But it is a little bit different when you have, you know, a small set of branches and you have the president, CEO, who's ingrained in the community and gets his staff ingrained in the community. And that's key to, you know, how we're going to start to change the paradigm.
I think it's exciting to see like a program like this come on board and many other things that people are doing in the community being known.
Right.
So let's take a little bit of a break. We'll come back and talk more about the conference. This is Talented People with Jeannie Murphy, but I'm George Ann today. Talk with you soon. We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Welcome back to Talented People. I'm here with Mayor Janice Kovach in Mayor of Clinton. But Janice serves so many roles in our community. She is a passionate person about so many issues, so many organizations, and lends her time and support to the community as a mayor, but also as a board member for nonprofits in the community. So we're just talking a little bit about the upcoming program on October the 8th. And it really is a forum for people who are in nonprofits as well as organizations like a Unity Bank or any of the other sponsors who are invested in the community and want to really bring forward new ideas for nonprofits. Because sometimes it becomes, you know, year after year, very frustrating that you don't have all the resources or that an event didn't quite go as well as you thought it would. So the funds are not as bountiful as they should be, right?
It's true. Well, it's that. It's understanding what other organizations are doing and what's successful for them. You know, the need to recreate the wheel has
You've seen it a few times.
I've seen it a few times, you know, and we spend more time than we should when if someone's already doing it and it's successful, why not?
Well, that's one of the, I mean, the concepts of so many nonprofits in our community. I know United Way is kind of established on that premise that we shouldn't recreate everything. We should connect and pool our resources, and it is one way to make things go a little more smoothly when it comes to limited resources.
Absolutely.
But there are a lot of other great organizations out there that do the same. They share ideas and resources, and their boards come together, and obviously the chamber's involved in so many organizations, as well as the township. So there are lots of people right now doing that already.
Yes, there really are. And there's so much, like I said, that you can really learn from other, even if it's not an organization similar. You know, there's just, sometimes that's better to have something that's not similar to your own.
Right.
To hear what they do. You know, and it's even when you look at a community that runs the same events year after year, you know, how do you make it so people want to be able to come back because it's new and exciting each time? Well, after 30 years, it's kind of hard to be new and exciting.
Yeah, the Black Potato Festival seems to do it, though,
it
right?
It
does. They still but keep
he,
growing.
You know what? He also, while you have some of the traditional people who are always there playing and performing, you get new acts, you know, and it kind of updates it. And next year, it's the 20th year.
Oh, so it has to be bigger and better.
So it's going to be bigger and better.
So on a nonprofit level, when you are looking to get that support to keep the interest, and that's part of what boards do as well, because you have the commitment of however many board members. Sometimes it's as few as a handful, and it goes up to 50 board members sometimes. Right. And what are really the roles of board members on these kinds of
I think there's a couple of roles. I think, obviously, fundraising.
You know, that is plainly put out there.
It absolutely, if it isn't, it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because they're being asked to go on the board because they bring something to the table. They don't need, the organizations don't need someone managing them day to day.
Right. They do that very well.
And they do. And unfortunately, some boards try to get involved in the day to day. And when you don't know specifically something that's happening or a situation, you have to back up. You have to let them run the operation.
Right.
You have to focus on bringing in, you know, sometimes boards rotate.
Right.
So making sure that you always have a bench of resources to bring in, you know, and understanding what you're looking for in your board members. Do you want corporate people who are in the corporate world? You know, some of those people may be able to help you raise money, but not be able to attend meetings. You know, others may not be able to raise money, but can volunteer their time. And they have a group of, you know, they're involved in their community, so they can help bring in volunteers. You know, it's really understanding, not just putting people on a board because, you know, it looks good to have the CEO of an organization, but making sure, one, they truly have a passion for your mission, that they understand the organizational structure, you know, and the constraints of the organizational structure, because someone coming in and saying, I want to see it, this huge thing, and you've got two people in staff, guess what? It's not going to be, you know, unless you're going to take that on. You know, it's being able to work independently, but also as a group. You know, not everyone gets along.
That is a really good point, that you can't just come on the board and think, well, I'm just going to do this or I'm going to serve this role. You might have to do
multiple
a lot
roles
of different things.
And you have to be open to criticism. You have to be open to, you have to commit the time to be able to sit on a board. I mean, there are a couple that I will consult with.
Right.
You know, they'll ask me questions, but based on what they're looking for in a board member, I can't commit. And I don't want to do that, because then that, one, it burns me out.
Yeah.
And then I'm shortchanging someone.
That's even an interesting thing that maybe some nonprofits haven't even thought of, having just people who are advisory.
Yes.
That you can go to from time to time to ask for ideas or advice.
But Polytech does that. Huntington County Polytech has, based on each of the areas that they teach in, they have advisory committees that meet twice a year maybe, that come in and, you know, offer insight on the industry, on what's going on, how you need to kind of move things forward. You know, I'm more than happy to do that wherever I can, because I want to be able to help multiple organizations. And if I commit to one,
right,
then that time is that's taken away from someplace else.
So that could be one of those best practices that
absolutely
we're talking about, that you, the board selection, getting the right people that match the mission of your organization.
Right.
That's another best practice. And also managing, it's not only managing the board, preparing board members.
Yes.
A lot of times they come in and they're blindly coming onto this board, not having a lot of history, not understanding what their role is really
right
to be.
Or they've never served a board before.
They have never been on a board. They've always liked to have been and
right
watched it from afar, but it's much different on the inside.
It is. And then you have individuals who unfortunately just want to put something on the resume.
Yeah.
And put their name on the board, but then never show up to a meeting and
right
never do what, and that's taking a seat away from someone who really could be giving to the community.
Yeah.
You know, it's, there's a couple of organizations that do a tough interview. Girl Scouts is one of them.
Do they?
They interview potential board members and, you know, set expectations as far, and that doesn't mean, just because you get an interview doesn't mean you get put on the board.
Oh, so that's a whole screening process.
There's a screening process. Now, obviously,
that's
Girl Scouts is a much larger organization.
Right.
For a smaller board, it's much harder, but, you know, you really should have at least 5 key questions that you ask every potential board member specific to your organization. And that'll give you a sense of whether or not someone's going to be committed to it.
So again, another best practice, do a good screening process.
Yes.
Interviewing, maybe have some staff and board members interview.
Absolutely.
And give feedback.
Yes.
So there are lots of ways to do this, but you have to, I think the preparation, the whatever orientation you give to board members is so critical, because they're busy people.
They are.
And if you have them come on a board and be very confused about
yes
what their role is, it seems like they're wasting their time, and you want to get them having a positive experience right away.
Right.
And productive.
Because that's why they'll stay.
And that's why they'll talk about it and or
exactly,
you know, fundraise for you or whatever it is that the role is. They're
right
only going to do that if they believe in it and they think it's a well-run organization.
Right.
So
exactly.
Let me talk a little bit about the agenda that we have in mind on October the 8th. Our program is called Best Practices for Nonprofit Organizations. It's a program that's going to be held in Somerset County at the Palace, and really looking at some specific best practices around board development, nonprofit issues, event planning, education, networking, and any other kinds of related issues. There will be CEU credits available, which is great. That's being offered through Mercer Institute. So if anybody does need a CEU credit, that's also great. We start at 8:30 with registration, and then we'll have our morning keynote, which is going to be Michelle Sikirka.
Yes.
She's wonderful. Obviously, NJBIA is a fantastic organization in New Jersey, and they work on business issues, but she also has a passion about nonprofits.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I, of course, knew her business. So it's going to be interesting to hear her perspective. I think she will be talking about some of those issues that'll be bringing together boards of people in the business world and nonprofit organizations,
right,
and how that marriage can work effectively. We'll then go on to Leah Pontani, who is with the Mercer Institute. She leads the Mercer Institute at Mercer County College, and she has a board leadership and grant writing program. So what's wonderful is she's been doing this with nonprofits for a while now, and she has a whole load of experience, and just talking about maybe some creative ways, not always going back to the same old grants,
right?
But maybe some other resources that are out there, and to talk about the grant writing process, because it is pretty complicated when you have these, you know, 100 and 200 page documents to pull together to submit grants.
And how does yours stand out from everyone else's?
how do you personalize it? How do you even know where to start? You want to sell your organization, but there are hundreds of great nonprofits out there. How do you distinguish yourself?
How do you get that gotcha?
So difficult. Did you ever do grant writing for the organization?
Thankfully,
you
I never had to do grant writing. You know how much I love to write, Georgianne.
Well, it's not, honestly, it's a skill. I take it totally as a skill. It's not something to be jumping into lightly.
No.
So I think there are people, and there are courses that people go through on grant writing, and there certainly are.
It is a competitive, because as you say, that you know, the dollars are slim.
Right.
You know, and if you don't, you have to meet all the criteria. So first thing is you have to meet all the criteria for the grant, and then you have to write the grant. So it's going, you know, jumping through hoops. So it is. It's so tough. But, you know, if you get a good grant writer, then that
you keep them.
It's definitely key. You know, finding someone that understands the nuances. And it's a small group of individuals. I don't think, I mean, you know, even on a fire department rescue squad, a lot of them are, they're all volunteers.
Exactly.
And they're writing a lot of their grants by themselves.
It's amazing that the hours that people as volunteers
they do.
Put in that are paid skills that you know, most people would pay for.
But you don't, if you don't have, you know, the money to pay someone.
Don't have a choice.
This is what it is. And, you know, you just, it's such a balance.
And I think also Leah will probably talk about trying to seek out the grants that fit your organization.
Yes.
Because just, you know, we know the famous, the Gates grants, the Dodge grants, all of those wonderful names, but they're not always the best fit for you. And you do have to allow enough time to research these grants.
Yes.
That's a whole full-time job in and of itself,
Is. It truly is.
To find the right resources to compete for.
Right.
Yeah, what is it going to take? So that's Leah's specialty, which is wonderful. And then we have our panel discussion, which is going to take this issue of nonprofits from a totally different points of view. People who have been on boards, people who have been involved as staff members, and really looking at different components of the nonprofit world. And lastly, the keynote for the day, the afternoon keynote, is going to be Steve Califer and Flemington Car and Truck Country. And Steve has been a benefactor, sometimes very publicly and sometimes not. And I know he does also support lots of different causes in the community. But it's just from his perspective, as somebody who might be a resource of funding, he's going to offer a little bit of insight as to what he's looking for or what other people like him who are benefactors might be looking for. Because sometimes nonprofits are right on target and other times they miss the point.
Right.
And it's hard to get somebody to talk to like this who really give you the scoop.
Exactly.
On what they're looking for, honestly. So it's going to be interesting to hear his perspective. And I know Ellen Nardoni is also on his team and has a nonprofit of her own that works with a cancer charity at the hospital in Somerset County. So there are lots of things that are interrelated here. What we're hoping is that the audience that comes, both the nonprofit staff and volunteers, board members, as well as businesses, will start to talk about, you know, all of these issues because the limited funding's not going away. I don't think anyone's going to open up the budget next year.
No, and I can't see that happening anytime soon.
It's going to get more difficult and you have to be more creative with it.
Right. I think the other piece of it, too, is, you know, we get into our closed communities. So whichever program we're working with, it's kind of I don't want to say it's not a closed community, but it's a smaller group.
Right.
And you don't necessarily talk across communities. You know, understanding that I may be a similar type organization. You know, I'm not out to put you out of business, but how can we work together? You know, how can we leverage? Yeah. You know, this goes back to the shared services. You're looking into towns to share services. Why can't, you know, a group of organizations share a grant writer?
I would think that makes a lot of sense.
You know,
to pay even the contract and split it.
Absolutely, that, or you know, and I'll go back to the, you know, like the domestic violence sexual assault programs. The domestic violence programs, you know, there are women who they're dealing with that are experiencing true trauma, but then at some point in time, they need to get to economic self-sufficiency. Well, the DV program shouldn't have to do that. That's what a displaced homemaker program could do. You know, that was one of the things we had tried to kind of push together was, you know, as their transition, let's give them transition points and give them an organization to transition to that's better suited to meet that need.
I mean, that seems to make sense. You have it people does, but who there's are doing still it so fear. Well. And is it the fear of losing your dollars?
Losing your dollars, or you know your relevance? Yeah. You know, part of it is you know a selfishness on the parts of organizations and that they want to maintain their relevance. And I get that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they consciously say, oh, it's all about making sure I'm relevant. But it's a you know we have a responsibility and we want to make sure we don't the work we're doing doesn't get kind of glossed over because it's extremely important work. Right. And then, you know, how do we go to the next steps? And we saw the Division on Women. We had two programs. One was the Urban Women Jobs Resource Program, mm-hmm. which was three women centers in urban areas that focused on women who needed basics. You know,
right.
I get that you've got one stops for people to go to. These women weren't ready for one stops. These women truly needed basics, you know, understanding because they may have been going into the workforce for the first time. And we also had three Hispanic women's resource centers. Unfortunately, both those groups got defunded because it was they can go to the one stop, so they can go here, they can go there. You know, and so that's a valid fear that programs have in that, you know, if I don't show my relevance, then I may cease to exist. And then I have a group of individuals who are now not going to have a home or a place to go.
That's the fear that these folks won't have any services.
And they do. They tend to fall through the cracks, especially those who can't necessarily speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the potential solutions, really trying to collaborate more and using the ready-made resources that are doing such good work out there right now, that are doing better work than you could ever do as starting these programs yourself. There's just, you know, no way you could measure up even if you started today.
Not at all. However we can get to a point where we're comfortable enough sharing information, sharing resources. Yeah. You know, this event is something similar to what we had tried to do at the Division on Women.
Right.
We had talked about bringing all the women's organizations in the state of New Jersey together, mm-hmm. not just the not-for-profits, but all the women's organizations to say, how do we work together? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we be so successful that we all win? Because ultimately, it's not us individually winning, but the women that we served.
It sounds like a very common sense goal. Now, how did it work for your experience?
We were never able to, you know, and as much as I hate to say it, we weren't able to pull everyone together because there was a lot of pushback that, you know, don't
touch my boundary. Right.
You know, New Jersey's a home rule state, so it's all about this is mine and you can't touch it.
And a lot of that comes from passion and pride. I understand that.
Yes, absolutely.
But sometimes we do have to consider, you know, the larger good.
Right.
And that's where we lose
our way. It's not about us. It's about the individuals that we serve and how do we best serve them.
So that's a great topic potentially for the panel to discuss.
I think that panel's going to have a lot of discussion.
It's going to be a lively panel, and you have all these experiences from government and being a mayor in a town and also on a countywide municipality level and then being part of nonprofit groups and the Division on Women. So what else is happening with you in
the
latest update?
I just came back from London.
Oh, wonderful. What was going on in London?
So I was speaking at an event. The UK has recognized victims of honor violence.
Right.
And it was a National Day of Memory where they had survivors speaking, sharing their stories. And Cosmopolitan UK was one of the sponsors of it, mm-hmm. so they were there. I was there. Baroness Caroline Cox was there. We all spoke. Mm-hmm. One of the ministers, the under ministers, is I think what they're called, was also there. You know, and the goal is to raise awareness. Obviously, you know, my objective going was to show support from the states. That I understand, you know, from the work that I've done, that this is something that has to be addressed. So it was a powerful and It was a day that definitely took a lot from you.
Oh, sure.
You know, you listen to the stories, and then the survivors come up afterwards, and, you know, they hear my personal story and what I do, and they're like, oh, I wish. I said, you know, you have no idea, but your story is so powerful.
Right.
Your story changes lives. I can help tell your story, and that's really where my skill is.
Incredible.
You know, my story is nothing compared to what you were. So it was definitely... It was a great opportunity, and I'm going to continue to do some work with some of them.
So it's honor, say again, the term
honor violence.
Can you explain that a little?
So honor violence is similar to domestic violence, except the abuse, whether physical or emotional, is perpetrated by family members, usually the parents and siblings, sometimes the larger community. And you know, a lot of time I get a lot of pushback when I talk about it because it's, oh, well, it's cultural and, you know, we can't offend anyone. I'm like, offend away. You know, violence to me is violence.
Yeah,
you can't use culture. You can't use religion. You can't use anything.
So the cultural
to justify
argument it. Is that it would shame these individuals?
It would shame.
In
so
their
if
culture
the
and family?
The girls, and I'll use the example of the two girls that were murdered by their father in Texas.
Right.
There's a documentary about them, but two girls were murdered on New Year's Day, and it was because they were too westernized. So the father was Egyptian and wanted to take the girls to Egypt and marry them off at the ages of 17 and 18, you know,
wow.
to individuals who are much older than them. And the girls were planning to run away. And unfortunately, before they were able to get away, and I think their mother was part of the problem as well, which in a lot of cases, that's the mother is one of the stronger perpetrators. The father murdered the two girls in his cab and left them there to die.
Wow.
It is the worst is that he continues to be free because his family and the community protect him because he protected the family's honor.
That's
so it's
very complex.
The girls are treated as, you know, their bodies define the honor of the family. And I think something that one of the women said, and I actually had some bracelets made. It says what she said is their shame is my honor.
Right.
So when her parents were shamed because of what she did by getting out of the abusive situation, you know, that was her honor because she was able to stand up for herself.
And that's why you say the cultural shouldn't stand in the way.
Exactly.
Because people are getting murdered over this.
Right. And you've seen it across the centuries.
Right.
You know, right now they're saying, well, this is cultural. It's in the Muslim or the Islamic community.
Right.
But you've seen it in the Christian community. You've seen it in all communities that there you can find it anywhere. And Jimmy Carter has an awesome book called Call to Action.
Mm-hmm.
And it really talks about you can find anything. You can make scripture. You can make the Bible, whatever it may be, say what you want it to say.
It's very true.
You know, however you interpret it,
yes.
You know, this is what it is. And that to me is just the reminder that we need to be doing all we can. You know, and for me, obviously, you know, supporting women is a passion and probably my calling. I don't know, my avocation because it's not.
It seems to be a central theme for you.
It really is.
It's been a part of your life for a long time. You
know, it has for about 10 years now. And I don't even know what kind of made me realize. I think I've always been a feminist at heart.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it and getting to experience what others experienced really is what drove it for me. So that I just did that, working on my book.
Right.
So I'm excited about
your
that.
Your seat at the table, right?
Your seat at the table.
And the tone of the book is to tell some of the experiences.
Some of my experiences, some of the stories of others who, you know, I've worked with or I've met throughout my journey. You know, this is kind of my journey and others' journeys intertwined and where we meet in those intersections, and whether it be in public policy or in politics. Some of them are really funny stories. Some of them are horrific stories. These are all the things that have kind of helped me shape who I am and what's important to me, and knowing that I need my seat at the table.
Right. And on a legislative, on a political level.
Absolutely.
More women need the seat
we
at
do.
The table.
You know, for a country that's supposed to be as advanced as we are sorely lacking in representation when we're 51% of the voting population.
Well, you know, when you go to the meetings or you go to Trenton,
yes, I'm one of the few women
in the room, and it's very apparent very quickly.
Right. Well, Sunday, I was at an event, and someone who I know comes into the event and said, "Oh, who's got that car with the number one? How do you get that?" I said, "Hello, it's my car." "Well, how do you get?" I said, "Because I'm the mayor. I get to have that because I am the mayor." And he's like, "Oh, wow, you know, I never thought about that." I said, you know, and this is someone who I thought was enlightened.
And knew who you were.
I knew who I was. Obviously, he's not as enlightened as I had hoped. But.
Well, we keep working, Janice.
Yes,
right?
We do.
And we're going to be so excited to have you as a part of this event.
I'm excited
in October,
as well.
October the 8th. Best Practices for Nonprofits, and sponsored by Unity Bank. And you can definitely look this up on Mariah Media's Facebook page and Twitter. We have registration available online, so we'd love to see not only nonprofits there, but also board members and organizations throughout the community to talk about this very important topic.
So, and individuals who've never served on a board who
exactly.
may be interested. This is where you get started.
Or have a passion on one of these issues.
Absolutely.
That the nonprofits are working on. So
yes.
Everyone should be engaged in this kind of a discussion. It's a very important part of our community. It's so fun to talk with you today.
Thank you.
It was
fun to be here.
And thank you, Jeannie, for letting me have a chance to sit in your seat. And Jeannie will be back next week with Talented People. Thank you for joining me, and stay tuned.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez says he will vote no on the Iran nuclear deal. He joins another Democrat, New York Senator Chuck Schumer, in opposing the plan that removes economic sanctions in exchange for a promise from Tehran to curb their nuclear program.
The agreement that has been reached failed to achieve the one thing it was set out to achieve. It failed to stop Iran from becoming a nuclear weapon state.
Congress will vote on it next month. President Obama is threatening a veto. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton dismissed questions yesterday over her use of a private unsecured email server when she was at the State Department.
No matter what anybody tries to say, the facts are stubborn. What I did was legally permitted, number one, first and foremost.
Investigators have uncovered 305 emails so far that contain classified information, some reportedly on the attacks in Benghazi. This is USA Headline News.
There are two types of water heaters, thankless and tankless.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
To its elite SEAL teams, Chief of Navy Operations Admiral John Greener told the Defense News yesterday there's no reason not to accept anybody who can meet the demanding standards of the Special Operations Unit. The Navy's announcement comes just days ahead of two women becoming the first female soldiers to graduate Army Ranger School this Friday. There's no word yet when